Welcome to the Wedding Street Podcast. Seeking the stillness amongst the chaos.
Wahey, Danny boy.
Good morning to you, Robert, in Switzerland.
How are you, my man?
Good. I have been up already. 8 a.m. I was out. I run 1 mile. I did 50 burpees. I then did 50 calories on the air bike. Then I did 50 calories on the ski ergometer. And then I run another mile in 2 degrees coldness.
So, sorry, Dan. You sent me to sleep there with all of those exercises. I was just completely destroyed listening to you. And I felt quite guilty that I just nodded off. Now, that's quite a lot of work, my man.
I didn't video it, so I'm not putting it on social media. This is as far as it gets.
Ah, but that means that you didn't train then.
I did.
No, if it's not posted to social media that you've been training or you're going training or you are training, then it's not training.
I know. That's the way the world works now, right? So what are we going to talk about? Some books, some M1 chips, some
IMAX new devices.
Uh-huh.
You know Apple Automations?
Kind of.
You can do all sorts of stuff with it. But anyways, right. I've got my phone in my hand right now, and I've got the cable, and I'm just going to plug it in to charge, right?
Juicy, juicy apple juice.
It's the little things in life, Danny boy.
Holly's just bought an Alexa from Amazon because they're throwing things away now for Good Friday. For Good Friday.
For Black Friday.
Easter egg.
To be fair, that's what they should do on Good Friday, isn't it?
Good Friday.
So you've got an Alexa, right? Oh, well, no, Holly has. You have the Siri, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So Alexa,
I think
farts,
you've got two of them, if I recall.
I do. And now they've just had an update on the Apple TV, which now it used to drop out all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was annoying. So if I played my music through them and then I go to watch the TV later, I would have to reset and, you know, do the rigmarole just to get my stereo sound again, which was annoying.
Okay.
And now they've updated it, latest firmware, and it just connects and every time now.
Okay, so now you have two HomePods, the big ones, is it?
Yeah.
In a stereo pair configuration with your smart TV.
This is correct.
Is it a smart TV that's driving them or is it Apple TV which
is
driving
Apple
them?
It's the Apple TV that drives.
Okay.
So.
And is it easy to set it up?
Yeah. You just literally do it through your home app on your phone. And then it asks you, do you want to stereo pair them? Which, yeah, the sound off it is, to be fair.
Yeah, because I just bought one for Ilaria's room. And I was just testing the music, and it is impressive.
Is this the big one or the...
Yeah, the big one, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's really, really good.
It's really impressive. And can you add more than just two?
No, but I was watching because I was looking, obviously, the new ones, and I Googled, can you use the small ones with the big ones? You can, but it won't play stereo. So you've got one of each. It won't play stereo. You either have to have two small ones or two big ones.
Right.
But... The guy was saying, like, everybody's on about they need to do a firmware update where you could say have the two in front in stereo and then say two or three small home pods behind you, which
that's
exactly
where I was going with that question. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what they're looking, you know, everybody's talking about that kind of thing. But
I mean,
Apple
it would be such a simple thing to do and they would absolutely sell products with that.
Man, it'd be amazing. Because I've got a little cutout cubby. Whole office which adjoins to my living room, so if I could put, you know, one or two little mini speakers in here,
yeah,
which I'd pick up my, you know, my Mac,
yes,
and then in the night then they'll make a bit of a surround sound from behind me, which would be pretty cool.
It would be very cool. I have the Bowers and Wilkins Formation Bar and Sub,
yeah.
And they are speaking to each other wirelessly, which is pretty cool and is the reason why I bought it.
Yeah.
But it's an absolute disaster, if I'm honest with you. I mean, the sound quality is fantastic, but, well, number one, every single time I switch on the TV, I have to connect the Bluetooth speaker. Now, I don't know if that's the speaker issue or if it's the Bowers & Wilkins. Oh, sorry. I don't know if it's the Bowers & Wilkins issue or if it's a TV issue. Mm-hmm. But every single time I need to go and search for Bluetooth device and connect to it.
similar to what I was going through then.
Right, okay.
It's annoying, right?
It is annoying. I mean, it's a couple of seconds, right? But when you do it every single time, you know, it should just default. Oh, I was connected to the speaker last time. Blah. But yeah. Not only that, it doesn't have this... So when you're streaming over AirPlay, it actually has a synchronization when you use AirPlay. So the TV syncs with the speaker and the speaker syncs with the TV. So that means that the lips are in synchronization. With Bluetooth, you don't have that. And with this speaker, I mean, it's crazy expensive. It doesn't have it. So there's no way to synchronize, and it doesn't have a HDMI ARC connection either. So you can't even do that.
Go HomePod, mate. Go HomePod.
I'm serious. Yeah, I'm really regretting that decision. I didn't research it enough, and I have Bowers & Wilkins products at home, and I've always loved them, and I just know that they're top quality. So I was just like, oh, that's perfect for me. I'll just take it. I didn't do any research, and look what happened.
That's it.
But yeah, no, I like those little HomePods. I think they're really cute and nice.
Yeah, they look cool, and the sound is pretty. They've just they've supposedly updated them to, is it Dolby Surround?
All right, okay.
Is it, I want to say 5.1, but I don't know.
Not if they're not doing surround sound.
Yeah, but supposedly the Dolby Vision new update now. will be, it'll throw it back at you. I don't know how.
Okay. It's like, it's the vision, no? It's the Dolby Vision.
That's it, Dolby Vision, yes.
Yeah. It's the artificial surround.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's actually quite good. I think the new phones have that as well, the 12s.
Yeah, so they're supposedly waiting for an update, but this guy has tried it. I watched a YouTube clip on it, and the two speakers are in front of you, but he said some of the noise is coming from behind you now and again. It's just like, how?
Yeah, that's fantastic. I love that. Yeah, I love that.
Oh, man.
Honestly, I have no idea how they do that either.
Ah, too clever.
Yeah, they're really too clever. Clever bar stewards.
So what about these M1 chips everybody's going on about? The silicon, is it?
Yeah, these are really fantastic, my man. I cannot believe what they've done.
I was looking forward to talking to you about it because you're a microchip designer. Is this
indeed,
correct for everybody?
Indeed.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. No, I've been reading loads about it, and what they've done is nothing short of incredible. It's such a massive task to bring that sort of stuff in-house. Yeah. And on their first product, boom, they're absolutely destroying everything on the market for, you know, similar.
Even their old products, yeah.
Exactly, man. I mean, there's some of the tests they're doing now, the benchmark tests, and it's absolutely destroying anything around it. You know, like even the Mac Pro, it's coming close to a Mac Pro. And you know how much a Mac Pro is.
So that's in the Mac Air and the MacBook Pro.
Correct,
is it the Mac Mini so far?
The Mac Mini, exactly, yeah.
So you're telling me all that now is faster than my, what am I using? I'm using a 5K iMac 2015, so this is 5-year-old.
I could well imagine it is, yeah. The problem is at the moment, the software which you're using was written for an Intel processor, and the new M1 chip is ARM architecture, so you need a sort of emulator, a binary translator in order to run those applications. So that means your software which is running today is taking a huge performance hit because it's not written for the ARM architecture.
All right.
So
when that's done,
it's just going to be boom.
Lightroom and Photoshop will be pretty special.
I think so, Dan. Yeah, that's the expectation anyways. It seems the hype is real.
I look forward to editing when you press a button to move it, and then this little bar doesn't, you don't have to wait for the bar to go all the way, and then it's done. It's
like, could you imagine? Yeah.
Which is pretty much like editing on the iPad Pro, to be honest.
Do you edit with, what's it called, Lightroom Mobile?
Yes, and it's quick. It's quicker than
my... How do you find it? Do you also use Classic? Lightroom Classic?
Yeah, I mainly edit on my 27-inch Mac in Lightroom Classic. But every now and again, especially if I'm going somewhere, not so much this year, but last year I was syncing it to my Lightroom Mobile and using the iPad and Pencil. And it's quick because the software was rewritten and redone for... specifically for the iPad, you know?
Yes, so for mobile devices, for on the go, exactly. Yeah.
So it was new.
But when it was first released, I mean, honestly, I don't use it. I just use the Classic, so I have no idea. But I read when it was released it just wasn't the same as what Lightroom Classic was offering.
It wasn't quite. There was a few things missing, but now, it's you can
caught up, has it?
What I do, I put it onto my Mac. I'll cull usually in the house anyway. Then I'll put it into Lightroom Classic, and I'll sync it to my iPad. So basically, then I'll go out. I'll go out for the day, a couple of coffees, blah blah blah, and whatever I edit on the iPad, I'll then come home and it's there sitting on my 27-inch Mac. It's just magic to me.
That's actually quite cool, yeah. And how do you think,
vice versa?
How do you sync? Are you syncing to an Adobe Cloud or something
else? Yeah, you do it to a cloud. So you create like a smart previews of it.
Yeah.
So that's all you're using is a smart preview. So you can't actually then upload them from the iPad to a hard drive or...
I see what you mean, yeah.
So you go back to your Mac then and then do it the same as you do using Classic anyway.
Oh, that's clever. And can you choose your own cloud service or do you have to use Adobe's cloud service?
I presume Adobe.
Okay.
And I just went with Adobe anyway. So,
okay.
Yeah, I think they'd want to keep it tied in, wouldn't they? That's...
Yeah, yeah. So then...
But don't quote me on that because then you can use now with iPads, you can use like external hard drives and do it that way.
Oh, cool. You just sync your what do you do there? Do you sync your library or something across?
Yeah, so you could either take in your SD cards straight in, or you can put your hard drives in, and then you could cull from the iPad then, which I haven't done yet, so I couldn't tell you too much about that.
Yeah, that would be quite cool actually. I could well imagine with the hand gesture, the swipe and up down left right. I think that could be quite a nice way to cull.
Yeah, and I think it's just a case of swiping left or right, like
Tinder.
Yeah,
I think that it's like I was just going to say Tinder. Yeah,
not that I've been on it though. Yeah. And I'm sure you've been with Nick Gowell many years, 15 years. So I'm sure you haven't been on it either.
Geez, I want to say that now.
No, you got to overlook. So you've got to overlook what's out there.
Yeah, I have this friend, and he told me.
Oh man, no. I remember one of my mates was on it. And we were all there having a few beers a few years ago. And we were like, oh, does this Tinder work then? I'll tell you his nickname, Chicken. And so he was showing us. He was swiping through. And this was back home. He's from Bridgend, where I'm from. So this girl came up in our local rugby club, who we all know very well. So me being me back in the day, my arm came through the gap and swiped to say yes. And he was like, you bastard. I never asked him, actually, what come of it? You might be married to her now.
What all happens then? Do they get notification that somebody likes you or what?
I think you both have to swipe yes. And then it connects you. It says you got a match, I think.
Oh, man, that's
there's
class.
Me, I think. I know that.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
And then
love
you can
it.
Talk.
Yeah, I love it. Love it.
Copy and paste then, isn't it? You get all your copy and pastes out and say... Oh, I do this, I do that. I'm from here, I'm from there. How about you? Copy, paste. Change the name.
Yeah, copy, paste, yeah.
So easy nowadays, Robert.
It is.
I used to go out and work for it.
No idea. Man, I used to have to cycle to a pay telephone box.
Speak to their mum and dad first.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Hey, could I speak to Julie, please?
There's nothing worse than some
who's
girl
this?
ringing your mum. Yeah, your mum and dad's house phone and they're, Daniel,
there's
a Jemima on the phone.
And then your sister's trying to... What?
First name came into my head.
Jemima. No, yeah.
I don't know anyone called Jemima.
I don't know what it's like in Wales, but for sure at home, everybody knows everybody.
Okay.
Everybody knows everybody's business. If I was calling, it'd be like, who's this? It's Rob. Rob who? Rob Edgley. From the town, is it? Rob Edgley from the town. Yeah. Your mother's Jane, isn't it? Yeah, she works in SuperValu. Yeah. That's it. All right, yeah. What do you want from my daughter?
things you do.
Yeah, sure. Remember back in the day, you just had everybody's telephone number in your head. It was crazy.
Yeah.
That's you just called the house phone. I mean, nowadays, nobody has a house phone, right?
Well, no, I don't.
Yeah, nobody has a house phone anymore. It's just mobile. Yeah. And you don't even use that.
No. No, that's a phone is the last thing that is, right?
I know. You probably feel like you're intruding in people's day or life when you give them an unannounced call.
Yeah, what are you doing? What's up, mate? No, totally. My mum and dad ring me most days still.
Yeah, no, to be fair, no, I'm also still heavily in contact with my mother, yes.
Yeah, now my dad's retired. They go off, well, pre-COVID, they go off every morning, coffee, bit of food for a walk, go and see my grandmother. They're out and about. So they think it's amazing that you can speak through the car device.
Yeah.
I get it all day. Guess where we are, Dan? I don't know. Where are you? I think you're somewhere in Wales. We're here. We're going there. We're doing this.
Brilliant. Yeah. They sound lovely.
No, they're great. They're great.
I just got a message from my mum this morning, and she's like, oh, I've just seen in the news that there's been a terrorist attack in Switzerland. Are you okay? And I was like, yeah, there's like 8 million people in Switzerland. It's quite a big place.
Oh, man. I did a job in London on like a corporate job on Monday. So I'm telling mum and dad now. So, oh, you be careful now over there. It's like, I'm 40 now.
I know.
I've been all over the world. Man. I've survived somehow. I don't know how, but I have.
That's the thing, man.
And then,
it's unbelievable.
Ring me when you get there. I'm off to do a job, you know?
Piss off.
Ring me when you get home. Like, oh, man. Oh, it's fantastic. I'm 40. Like,
they never give in, right?
Nah. Like, it's great, obviously. It could be the complete opposite, and nobody gives a toss about me, but so I can't moan.
You can't moan. Dan, let's change topic here.
Okay.
I'm holding in my hand Cardiff After Dark by Majik Dakovic. And that's probably not how you pronounce his second name, but I'm pretty sure it's Magic, and it was the first one.
I know the book very well. I'm quite possibly in it, Rob.
It's very likely, yeah. I'm also holding in my hand Vinit Vora's Serendipity.
Oof.
The brand new one from iShot magazine publication.
I also have this.
And thirdly, and lastly, I am holding in my hand The Suffering of Light by Alex Webb.
Classic.
So, let's discuss.
Yeah, three good books.
Three of my favorites.
Yeah. I'll give you a couple of my favorites after, but we'll have a little chat about these, yeah?
Yeah, let's do it.
So, Cardiff After Dark.
Yes.
As I mentioned.
I guess you've got lots of... It resonates a lot with you, this one.
Oh, absolutely. I've been in Cardiff After Dark many occasions, predominantly watching rugby.
Yeah.
So you go out for the Six Nations dressed like... Because it's February, March.
You go out in like Irish a
Welsh
jersey,
rugby...
Right?
Yeah, you go out in a Welsh rugby t-shirt, freezing your absolute, you know... But you're hard, right? I'm hard.
At least you should be. You should be.
I'm 21. So yeah, Cardiff After Dark, some of the things you see, I probably can't remember most of it, but this book is just literally as what it says, Cardiff After Dark. I've always said about the Welsh, they're lovely by day and zombies by night. Like crazed loons.
Yep.
And this book just... emphasizes exactly that.
It captures it all, doesn't it?
It's brilliant.
I mean, for me, like, not only are the images really good images, you know, proper street photography images.
Yeah.
He had the nerves of steel to go on those streets and photograph drunk Welsh in the way he has done.
Just even that takes something, you know, because you're gonna get some idiots coming up to you that time of night, like in a state of and semi unconsciousness.
Yes, and aggressive. I could well imagine aggressive.
Most are. You're gonna see it. I grew up in Bridgend. It's like they'd be fighting every week in Bridgend, you know. So, like fair play to him to go out that hour, not just that hour with the alcohol-induced nutters.
Yeah.
But an image that I just think of straight away with that book is the guy just dressed as in a miniskirt with a hat on, no top on.
With
his leg over the barrier, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like...
It's brilliant.
Classic.
It's
classic.
Brilliant.
Guys, you need to check this book out because it's so funny.
Yeah, I think it was over about a year or something like that that he worked on it. I'd say he's got some awesome pictures that didn't make the book, you know?
Yeah, probably some that censored even worse than some of them already are, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, I've looked through it and I'm like, wow, would I be in the background of any of these? Because so luckily I haven't found myself.
You haven't found yourself in there.
No.
So you've mentioned your favorite image.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm honest with you now, I was gonna give you my favorite, but I'm just looking through them here and there's just too many of them.
Yeah, some classics.
There's literally too many of them. Like there's one like here on page 104, right? And it's a guy on the floor. I think it's three mates and they are tackling each other. One mate has got him in the headlock and the other one's got him around the arm and the leg.
It for me, it just sums up, you know, when my 20s, really.
Yeah, like, but that's the thing. Yeah, this could have been taken anywhere in the UK or anywhere in Ireland on a Saturday night.
And I'm sure it still goes on at an ungodly hour.
I'm sure. The one beside it that I didn't describe is a bunch of guys eating what looks to be curry chips.
That's Chip Shop Alley.
There's a guy bending over, probably to pick up one of his chips off the ground. And you can see the crack of his backside. And shall we say, it's not the cleanest of cracks. So it ties in really
day.
Quite well with the curry chips.
That's the thing. When you go out for the rugby, you're out at midday. So
yeah,
that
that's
hour,
the thing, yeah.
You're looking pretty messy. And yeah, that's Chip Shop Alley. It's a famous alleyway in Wales. And it's just chip shop after chip shop after chip shop after kebab shop. So that's where everybody congregates, like, you know, midnight onwards.
Yeah.
For food.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Classic book. What did you say next? Vinit.
Go on.
Vinit Vonnegut.
Have you looked at it?
Serendipity. I'm only halfway through, but yes, I have. What do you think?
So like you, I haven't seen all images yet. It does take a while. It's quite a big book. It's quite complete. But yeah, of course. I mean, they're Vinit's images. They're top, like.
Yeah. No, it's just very good. And as I say, it's called Serendipity. So it's just, he sees things that, you know, like, how did you get there? You know, what was your thought process going into that image?
Yeah.
And we've actually, as people may know, we've actually met and, you know, spent a few days photographing with Vinit in India. And
yeah,
he'll just wander off for a second, come back with a classic image. It's just
exactly.
Like, how did you even think about that? How did you even, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. A big element of his work is separation.
Yeah.
And that's something that he, you know, we can say that he taught us well, how to look for separation in an image. And that you can just see all over the place in this book.
This is a very good book. And as you say, published by iShot magazine. No, it is it is a very good book. Because, yeah, with my library of photo books, they're all different shapes, all different sizes, different papers, different quality of print. So with the iShot, they're all consistently, you know, the same size on paper, which, yeah, they look good, you know.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. One thing that Vinit actually taught us is how to curate images like this in a publication.
Page next to page. Yeah.
Exactly.
So they speak
how
to
the
each
flow.
Other, yeah?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's also just really evident in this book. You have an image of a horse on one page, and then on the second page, you have a shadow of a horse, and it continues on like that, seamlessly transition to the next connection.
Yeah.
And this is his first publication, huh?
He did say that he was it was in the pipeline, and this was February, wasn't it?
Yes.
So, yeah, no, it's just a very good book.
Did you get the white edition or the black edition?
The white edition, purely down to price.
Right, it was quite a significant price difference between the white and the black.
Yeah, so the black one's a limited edition, but you get a print with that, I believe.
Yes. I mean, the white is also a limited edition.
Yeah. Less numbers, though, right?
Less numbers, exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's very good. And, you know, I look forward to seeing what else is coming up.
Yeah, he seems to have done very well with it. Anyways, that's for sure.
Quality, and as I say, even the envelope and everything, it's the package is delivered in is just, you know, wow.
Yeah.
You know, like Apple products, you know, when you open them, it's just like, yeah, this has been thought about.
Exactly. There's an attention to detail in there.
Yeah.
Vineet, do you have a favorite?
Image?
Yes.
Something I do like, his one with the cow and the horns of the trees.
Yeah.
That stands out for me. Even
the
though
cow and the horn and the tree. Of course.
Yeah. So basically it's a cow with horns, but then behind it is a tree, which then looks like that's equally the horns and sticking out.
It's image more like a reindeer. 112 in his book. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
for just, me, 137, image 137. It's the school kids playing around. It's hard to describe images on a podcast, isn't it?
There's a little boy, there's a big boy, there's a medium-sized boy.
The predominant colors in this image are blue. The message which is communicated to the viewer is, the children appear to be having lots of fun.
It sounds like an alt tag now when you do a blog post.
Yeah, we should work on our image descriptions.
Yes, we'll work on that.
Yeah, it's like you're describing something for the blind.
Yeah, exactly. That's what an alt tag is, right?
It is.
Yeah. So what was your final? Alex Webb.
Alex Webb, yeah. The absolute master of layering, image separation.
Yes.
Vibrant colors, just capturing serendipitous or enigmatic moments. The list goes on with Alex Webb. It's pure joy just looking at these images.
The Suffering of Light.
Oh, Dan, this is such a good book. There's no way I'm going to be able to pick a favorite image in here.
Yeah, it's the colors, the layers. You're just wow in that book.
I mean, if I was to create a photo book, it would be like this. It's big. There are many pages with just one image on them. The whole book is pretty much one image per page.
I think it's...
per double spread page.
Yeah, I'd say the most famous street photography book. Would you? Single book.
Oh, easily. If you're a street photographer and you don't know this book, then you are in for a treat.
Get it. Because it was actually on sale on Amazon back last week, which now it's Black Friday, could be even more. I think it's only like £20 or £21 or something.
Right, yeah.
So it's definitely well worth it. And I have two copies of it.
Worth every penny. You do, yes, you do. I'm going to go with a favorite image out of this book.
Tell me your image.
It's the image with the kid spinning the football, the blue football.
That has to be my favorite street photography image of all time. I even looked at buying the print and it's thousands.
It's just phenomenal.
It doesn't make sense to me.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And what I love is when you look at it, you just see more and more things appearing.
Yeah. What is it? Five children dressed in like a white and pale blue?
Four, five. Yes. So white and blue stripe.
The layers of that image. You've got
the color connection. The building is blue. The ball is blue.
It's a globe, isn't it?
Is it?
I think it was, yeah.
Well, there's the intriguing part of that image.
Well, yeah, obviously, it's spinning.
Yeah.
But I think it was a globe.
Okay. I really didn't know it was a globe.
But what tops it off for me, if you look in the back left corner,
yeah,
there is a basketball going through the hoop.
Correct.
Which to me is just like, if you ever want the, you know, the cherry on top, the icing on the cake, it's that. It's just like,
It's fantastic.
And you have to look for that, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It doesn't just appear straight away.
That's the thing.
The image hits you straight away, but then you find these little, you know.
Yeah, one additional example of that is the kid at the bottom left-hand corner, just hiding behind the guy spinning the football or globe or whatever it is. Yeah. You don't see that immediately. Another thing is the boy spinning the globe.
Yeah.
There's a mark on the wall where the other kid is standing. It looks like he's holding a stone or something in between his fingers.
The image is where you keep looking and you keep seeing something each time.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Yeah, I just love the way everybody's standing and looking. Oh, man. Yeah. It's
special,
it's just,
right?
Oh, it's special.
I do have a postcard of this, but yeah, the print, as I mentioned, was ridiculous money, and I like, there's no way.
Yeah.
So, but worth it. And for me, that's, that has to be my favorite street photography image. Not just from Alex Webb, not just from that book, you know, overall.
Yeah, just all time. Yeah. I mean, for me, it, like I said in the beginning, there are too many. I had to pick that one. But when you look through this book, I'm reminded, oh, there's that one. Oh, and there's that one. So I just couldn't pick an I mean, Jesus, they're so good. They're just so good.
Yeah.
This is what I aspire to in my photography. This is the benchmark.
Yeah, we're all seeking that, aren't we? The perfect image. And it's so, almost as perfect as you can get. You're going to get, you know?
Do you have in mind the image of the lady in the blue dress, red headgear, guy smoking, donkey, kids in silhouette? And then if you look even closer, there's another kid hunkered down, hiding behind the wall. That's another absolutely stunning image. You've got the chiaroscuro effect going on. You've got color complements of blue and red, highlight shadows. You've got everything in that image. Separation, mystery, intrigue.
I do like the silhouettes, you know, up against the harsh light and people in the harsh light and then the silhouettes.
Yeah.
So the light against the dark and the dark against the light. I just think those kind of images, like...
Yeah. They're surprisingly easy to get, right?
Yeah. This,
what's difficult, you know, is making it clever and having more than just a silhouette.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very rare, isn't it, that you'd have an image where the silhouette is the focus of the image, aside from wedding photography, of course, but it's usually an element inside an image, which then makes the image more interesting.
Something going on, something happening, a story. Yeah, no, a couple of classic books there, Rob. Fair play. Do you want to know a couple of mine?
Go for it, please.
You got the obvious, like The Americans, Robert Frank. I'm a color photographer, you know, all day long. But some of the old classic street photographers were obviously mainly black and white. So Tony Ray Jones, another classic. Some of the things, like I look in these old classic books, something amazing happening. But how were they there? Why were they there? And then this happened.
Yeah.
So, those kind of books. Another classic, more of the story than... Just very, very good photographer, didn't get found until she'd passed away. Have you heard of Vivian Mayer?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
The selfie.
Yeah. Her story, she was like a nanny. She was nannying very quiet, supposedly. And a guy at a garage sale, you know, like what they call them in America.
A yard sale?
Yard sale, that's it. So, yeah, a guy in America went to a yard sale and bought a box of, like, old negatives and then basically checked them all out and couldn't believe the images which were on the prints. I think there was thousands and thousands and thousands. And it was, Vivian Mayer. And her work, you know, her street photography work was insanely good. And, only became famous because some guy just picked them up at a yard sale.
Was, by chance, the famous selfie photo on that negative set?
Don't know if, because he went and bought more after, because they sold a few different boxes at a few different auction sales. And he, after seeing how good these initial pictures were, he went off and, you know, bought them from whoever else had bought them.
Yeah.
Created a website and everything. And then created the books that they got. But the selfie she took, back in that day, what was a selfie?
I mean, for
right?
me, she is the original selfie queen.
Yeah.
I mean, she took many photos of herself in reflections. Many.
Yeah, exactly. And it's on the front cover of her book.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, oh, fantastic.
Man.
Fantastic. Was it, what did they call the Rolleiflex?
That's it.
Camera?
Yeah.
Have you ever used one?
Nope. I've only seen one in, like, you know, a museum or something.
Yeah, I really want to try one.
Yeah,
because they have a big viewfinder up on top, don't they?
They look heavy, though, you know? They're going to be heavy.
Oh, they are heavy.
To walk around the streets, like, you know, all day with that, capturing what she has is incredible. Yeah, I've just had a new book, actually. It's huge. Steve McCurry. It's called In Search of Elsewhere.
Okay.
That's a very good book as well, what I've got through so far. So... Yeah, from all over the world. Some images which are unseen for Steve McCurry. So that's a very good book.
Yeah.
Also, it's a bit more, you know, solemn. The End of the Caliphate by Ivo Prickett, who is an Irishman, actually, a fellow Irishman. He's a war photographer. It works for the New York Times. So it's obviously, you know, you have to be a certain type of person to look at this book, because there are some not so nice images, but the storytelling and, you know, someone who gets nervous for weddings. I don't really get nervous, but there is that little apprehensiveness, you know, going to somebody's door. But how do you just go to war and not just take pictures? You're thinking about images, you know, you're thinking about framing.
Composition, like, and everything.
Being shot at. I take my hat off to anyone like
that. Yeah, really, really insane.
Yeah. So yeah, there's some of my favorite ones. A couple of good books if you're starting out for, say, a general kind of, not just one photographer, is like Bystander. Have you heard of that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's like a bit of the history. Joel Meyerowitz has a little bit of input into that. Masters of Street Photography is another good one. And Magnum did a good Streetwise, it's called. So if you're looking for a general overall of lots of different street photography, those three books are definitely worth having a look at. And then, yeah, going out and practicing.
Oh, yes.
Which, yeah, man, that's what it's all about, right? You can read books all day long, look at pictures, but you need to get out there as well, yeah?
Yeah, it's just for the inspiration and just for the joy of enjoying photography. Yeah. That I look at these books.
Exactly the same.
And if I'm honest with you, I do forget a lot of them. And I pick them up again and I'll have a look. But, you know, maybe once a year or maybe even less. It's not something I would religiously go and pick up and have a look at. But I do put a lot of pressure on myself when I do look at these books, though, as well, and just go, oh, man. I might as well just retire.
Just give it.
Forget it.
No, Rob, you're very, very good yourself. You know, you see some things which, well, you know, others don't see as well, you know.
Yeah.
Which was proven when we went to India. You're looking at totally different things to me in the same kind of scenario or same place.
Yeah.
And coming back with something totally different, which is, I think, is the amazing thing about photography.
That's the beauty of it, isn't it? Yeah. Same place, completely different eyes.
Yeah. So have you got any, after all this, is there any, where would you like to go, Robert?
To go and photograph, yeah. You mean? I would absolutely love to go to somewhere like Havana, Istanbul.
Yeah.
Vietnam.
Highly appeal.
What do you think?
Like,
well, I think that would be the idea, no?
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, Dan, just going back to the iShot publication, The Serendipity, Vineet Vohra.
Yes.
We should talk a little bit more about this book because we have got Marco Savareza coming on the show.
Yes.
Marco Savareza is the publisher. The curator, I guess, and publisher of the iShot magazine and these books, which he's just released. And we should probably talk a little bit more about him before he comes on.
I totally agree.
Have you ever met Marco, or have you only spoken to him?
Only spoken to him online.
Yeah.
But seems like a really genuinely lovely guy. And as we touched on, his attention to detail is... I would like him working for me. Him and you both working for me. How does that sound?
Yeah. No problem, Dan. We do all the work and you reap all the rewards. Yeah. No problem.
Well, I've got the face for radio. I mean, hello. Oh, man. If only I had the money, you'd both be in my company. How's that?
Man, if you know what I mean, if the salary is right, I would do anything for you.
Anything?
Anything. Right,
easy tiger.
You know, I'm that easy.
Yeah, but some of the books that he's bringing out now, obviously we touched on Vineet Vohra. He's also got Matt Stewart, Francesco Sembolini. So these are a few that are coming out. Siegfried Hansen, who's a German photographer. Susan Pectus. So she's doing images of the Black Sea and all the beaches. And Matt Stewart, actually.
Yeah, it's a really nice collection. Really nice collection. But yeah, just touching a little bit on the attention to detail. When you get this book, it comes in a nice box. It's a transport box, but it's still a nice custom built transport box. But it comes lovely wrapped in paper, and you get 3 or 4 postcards with it as well. Which
pretty special to be
which
fair.
I think is a really nice touch. It comes like in a black envelope. Let me just open. Yeah, and you get 3 of probably Vinit's favorite images, I guess. And they're signed. I think that's a really nice touch.
Lovely. It's when I was first started street photography, I came across iShot magazine and straight away I was like, geez, man, that's like I always used to get the magazines Wavelength years and years ago, surfing magazines.
Yeah.
And they used to be like a step ahead in terms of other magazines out there, just for quality and print and just, as I say, attention to detail. And these magazines just brought that back straight away. It's just, they stand out, yeah. You know?
Yeah. But anyways, back to Marco. So Marco is Italian.
He is.
That's correct, yeah. Isn't it? Marco Savarese.
He is also a street photographer himself. So yeah, he is. It's not as if he's just someone who's just come into the industry. He's been there, out there, and knows what people like and do and see, you know?
Exactly, so, yeah.
I know he's kind of on board with all the, like, London Street Photography Festival, Miami Street Photography Festival, the Italian Street Photography Festival. So they're all pushing him because they know the quality.
So, yeah.
Yeah, now I'm looking forward to speaking to him.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. So what we didn't know before making the recording is that Marco, although spoke, in our opinion, quite well English, he wasn't comfortable in speaking English on the podcast. So we got a translator involved so that we could have a chat to Marco without any misunderstandings.
And if I believe right, we have to head over to Italy to see him.
Whether or not he remembers that, I don't know, but at least we've got it recorded.
Exactly. Proof is there.
We'll just show up at his front door and it's like, hi, Marco.
I think he said all inclusive and yeah, take us out in his Ferrari. Was that right?
Tutto bene, tutto bene. Yeah.
Living the dream.
Indeed, indeed.
Shall we bring him on, Robert?
Let's get him on.
Welcome to the Wedding Street Podcast. Seeking the stillness amongst the chaos.
Well, hello there. A massive welcome to Marco Savarese, all the way from Italy. He is the publisher of iShot magazine, and we have some questions for him today.
Bene, perfect.
Dan, would you like to start it off?
Yeah, go for it. Marco, how are you?
Fine.
You're good? How's the weather in Italy?
Si sta bene, il tempo è bello. Tornare in Campania, a casa mia, a Napoli.
Is everything is good? The weather is fantastic, and I'm just waiting to go back home to Naples.
Perfect.
Oh, I love the pizza in Naples.
I photographed a wedding in Naples last year. Beautiful part of the world.
Sì, Napoli è tra le città italiane dove c'è il maggior numero di matrimoni.
Napoli is the one of the cities in Italy where there is the highest number of weddings.
I can see why. Very, very beautiful, very romantic place.
Indeed, indeed.
Sì, meraviglioso. Il più bello.
Yeah, indeed, the most beautiful.
Yeah. So Marco, tell us a little bit about the famous iShot magazine. Where did it all start?
Allora, tutto è cominciato per la volontà di dare molto valore, molto più valore alla street photography.
So iShot started with like the desire to give value, a new value to street photography.
The publications, you can tell there's a lot of love and a lot of attention to detail put into them. It even starts with the opening of the parcel which you send to us. There's just so much love and care put into that.
Sì, l'idea è di creare pubblicazioni di livello fotografico di qualità, tutte edizioni limitate, e di cambiare l'idea di editoria che attualmente abbiamo.
So the publications, the idea is indeed the packaging, all this attention to details, because the idea is to have these publications that have such a high quality production behind them in limited editions. And with this rationale behind, that is always to change the idea of publishing and street photography in particular.
Okay, okay.
Being a wedding photographer, you sell yourself initially, but yes, you're also voted on the delivered product, which is insanely good from Marco and iShot magazine.
L'idea è di trovare collaborazioni di alto livello e di non curare io totalmente le edizioni, ma di creare gruppi di lavoro in modo da avere visioni della street photography internazionali di vari paesi nel mondo.
So the idea is to find collaborations within the street photography like industry, and it's not Marco editing the magazine himself on his own, but the idea is to create this group of collaborators, so other street photographers, and all together editing the pictures to have this kind of different street photographers, these different collaborators from all over the world, so to make sure there is this vision, which is an international vision of the street photography.
Yeah. So like you said, the collaboration of all the different artists which have been found by you, Marco, or are they the collaborators who have submitted images to your website?
C'è da differenziare due modi di invio di lavori. Il primo è legato alle pubblicazioni stampate, e in questo caso sono io che metto insieme il gruppo di 5 fotografi ospiti.
Okay, so the collaboration, so there are two kinds, so there is the selection that Marco does for the print magazine. So basically he selected these 5 photographers, these 5 guest artists.
Okay.
And usually select them specifically from their country of origin. And then there is the website. So on the website, so the artists submit their work, and then Marco select them. And there is the Instagram page as well. And at the moment on the website, there are like 30 different artists submitting every day.
Okay.
Which is quite big.
Which is quite big, yeah. So yeah. How many of those artists actually make it into the magazine?
Attualmente circa 130. Per ogni pubblicazione, escludendo le edizioni dove sono presenti i vincitori di alcuni street photography festival internazionali di cui iShot è partner ufficiale.
So there are roughly 130 photographers, 130 artists per magazine, excluded the artists that won different street photography festivals. And iShot is usually partnership with these photography festivals.
Okay.
Yeah, I went to the London Street Photography Festival last year. I'd already actually subscribed to iShot magazine. But yeah, seeing it there, everybody, they had a big show of photo books, and obviously seeing the iShot magazine in amongst them, they were the magazines that your eyes went to, and everybody was taking a good look at those over the photo books.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's cool. That's amazing.
You should be proud.
Sì, moltissimo.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. And also, yeah, for me, myself, to be featured on the iShot website was a great honor for me. For someone who's only just started out in street photography this last 18 months, really. So yeah, that was a proud moment. And I don't say that often.
Bellissimo.
So Marco, which is your favorite edition so far on the iShot magazine?
Quella che devo ancora fare.
The one still to be published.
That's the easy answer.
Yeah. That's my favorite photograph I've ever taken too.
Exactly, yeah.
Esattamente, sì.
Exactly that, yeah.
I have two publications right in front of me now. I have the Street Fashion edition and I have the Flora and Fauna edition. I've only got about 50% of the way through the Street Fashion, but I'm already in love with a few of the pictures in there.
Sì, è una bellissima selezione con cinque grandi fotografi ospiti.
It's a really beautiful selection, the street and fashion with those five amazing artist guests.
Yeah, I see that. I see that.
Do you have a favorite edition, Marco? All of them.
Yes. Ogni edizione è diversa dall'altra, anche in termini grafici, artistici. In ognuna di queste edizioni c'è una continua evoluzione, un continuo studio che non sia solo fotografico, ma anche di design, di indicizzazione e di gestione dei contenuti. Ed Anna, che mi sta aiutando, è veramente una persona che ha dato una marcia in più quando si è unita al gruppo.
So every edition is different for many reasons. Firstly, because of the artists, they are collaborating and selected and published. And obviously graphically as well, we kind of there is a constant evolution and improvement of the experience. We study around the design, how the page looks like, and recently we have been working on the indexing. So there are more pages with the index, and Hannah, who is helping me in this, she was helping in this kind of like visual improvement. This is something that we do, the magazine does constantly.
It's an important process in anything you do. It's just continuing the development and continue to get better and better.
Sì, assolutamente. Anche perché cerco di chiedere sempre feedback. Alle persone che ai clienti o comunque alle persone, agli appassionati che seguono e che comprano comunque le edizioni stampate. Cerco di trarre sempre i miglior feedback per migliorare.
Yeah, esattamente that, and we always look for feedbacks from our like regular customers to make sure we listen to what they think, and then we actually apply it and we get better.
Indeed. So you've been quite busy over the last week or so, Marco. It looks like you are about to release something quite big.
Sì, è vero, perché nell'ultima settimana abbiamo lanciato il video di presentazione di iShot Publisher, perché iShot sta crescendo e da collezioni di street photography di vari artisti adesso si prepara a realizzare monografie di singoli fotografi. E questo ha uno scopo ben preciso, che poi spiegherò dopo.
That's true indeed. I've been super busy in the last week because we launched the official video of iShot Publisher, which is changing the focus a little bit, and it's going to publish photo books, it's going to publish monographs, each individual street photographer.
Yeah, myself and Dan are very excited about that.
Yeah, we actually spent some time with Vineet Vonra in February in India. So we're very, very excited to see his work published because he did mention to us there's something in the pipeline, but he was holding off for a little bit and didn't want to tell us too much. So yeah, we're looking forward to that.
Io ce le ho tutte avanti perché ho iniziato l'editing del suo libro e garantisco che il risultato sarà spettacolare.
Marco has the pictures all in front of him right now
Oh, wow.
because they just started the editing. So he just started the editing, so he can guarantee the result is going to be quite good.
We knew that. We knew
We
that.
knew that already, yeah.
Yeah. When can we expect them?
Nelle prossime settimane inizieranno i preordini di tutti e sei i libri, molto probabilmente, e i libri usciranno scadenzati con una distanza di circa un mese l'uno dall'altro, ma verranno pubblicati e presentati tutti quest'anno.
All the books are going to be published this year. In the next few weeks, the pre-order is going to be launched, and the books themselves are going to be within a month. within each other in terms of like the publications. But yeah, all the books are going to be out by the end of the year.
Oh, okay. Fantastic.
Coming very soon.
Yay.
That's quite a lot of pressure to put on yourself. Yeah, we're super excited about the delivery. I think we will be one of your first customers if there are any left available.
Make sure we get them.
Yeah, we should have priority. Yeah. Priority list.
Thanks a lot.
Because there's nothing like this in the wedding world, if you know what I mean. There's nowhere to go and look at like amazing wedding photographers' work as a collection.
I like a lot the street photography approach in wedding.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of the photographers called York Place Studios?
York Place?
Yes.
No.
I will send you a link. You should take a look. They are very good wedding photographers, but they focus on street photography style.
Okay, great. Very interesting.
Marco, is there anything you would like to ask myself or Rob?
Vorrei sapere se vorrei capirne di più sul wedding nella street photography. Come possono aiutarmi a fare questo?
So Marco would like to know how can wedding street photography kind of help and get together?
I think they definitely cross over because everything I learned from wedding photography, I kind of went into street photography with. So everything, my thought process, I just went on the streets and used what I've learned and just went from there, basically. So for me at a wedding, I would look for moments, composition and light. And then if all three come together at once, then for me, that's a great image, you know. Mixed with the street photography then that I've learned, I've taken back into weddings. So you look like, you know, for leading lines, symmetry, again, further composition and layering and separation. So I think they definitely cross over and both are good training for each other, if you know what I mean.
Bellissimo. Molto interessante.
That's super cool, super interesting.
I love the both, and it's training for my eye. It makes you sharper, and things like weddings and street photography, things just happen at a split moment when you really sometimes aren't expecting it. So it's this, yeah. I love the both. I'm very passionate about the two.
Okay, perfect.
And on that note, yeah, I'd also like to thank you very much for taking part in our podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Piacere è stato tutto mio. Veramente complimenti e grazie mille per questo invito. Sono onorato.
It has been really my pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm really honored of this and congratulations on your podcast.
Thank you very much, Marco.
Yeah.
Means a lot.
It does indeed. I think all of the congratulations should go to you though with your magazine and your books. Yes, thank you very much.
Very kind.
Questo è soltanto l'inizio, diglielo.
This is just the beginning.
indeed.
We look forward.
Non vedono l'ora.
Sì, grazie.
Thank you guys.
Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed, please subscribe to the podcast.